If you travel for work, you know to pack two suits, business and swim. You know with your Delta SkyMiles Business Amex card, buying that plane ticket for a business trip can get you closer to medallion status. You know that a meeting in Montana means visiting almost every national park.
Yellowstone? Check.
Because you're the chief excursion officer. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum Business American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Terms apply. Visit go.amex/youknowbusiness.
Keep your money local. Bring it home to a Wintrust Community Bank, home of Cubs checking with free ATMs nationwide. Find out more at wintrust.com/Cubs. Member FDIC.
Let's play two.
Back!
Hey there, welcome into the Cubs Talk Podcast presented by Wintrust Community Bank. I'm Luke Stuckmeyer. We are four wide on the podcast. Tony Andracki is here. The Stats Cruncher, Chris Kampka, is here. And our analyst, Doug Glanville, is here. And today on the podcast, we're talking about Kyle Schwarber. Who is he? What is he? And what do the Cubs really have in good old number 12? He's the fourth overall pick in the 2014 draft. He was in the big leagues within less than 60 weeks of being drafted. Then he hit five home runs in that postseason in 2015. We all know about the injury in 2016 and then coming back for the World Series. So now five not quite full seasons, obviously, into his career. What do the Cubs have? Chris, well, you're the stat man. Hit us with the numbers.
Well, I'm not going to hit you with numbers.
Okay.
I'm gonna tell you that our view of Kyle Schwarber and our expectations of Kyle Schwarber is distorted for a few reasons, and I'm going to run them down. First of all, it's the Cub factor. You know, the Cubs are one of the, you know, more nationally noteworthy teams in the league. So whenever a Cub comes onto the scene and does something big, it's going to get a lot of headlines. It's going to be magnified. So that's one thing, and he was a very high draft pick. Before he played 70 regular season games, he was already the franchise's postseason home run leader, which is absurd. Now, granted, there were many more rounds now than there were back then. They hadn't had many opportunities to get there. But you're looking at a player who is 69 games into his major league career, was the franchise leader, a storied franchise leader in postseason home runs. You know, we tend to gravitate towards the stories, and that's definitely one of them. And it even got more so, because then comes the legends. In the midst of that postseason home run burst, he hit the Budweiser sign in Game 4 of the 2015 NLDS. It was a huge moment. I mean, the video was amazing. And I think that was the game where they went 1-6 in the order, all had a home run. So then they lost, right? But then the very next spring training, he hit a windshield of a Mazda CX-5 in spring training with a blast, and then the legend continues.
The one in the playoffs is one of the most epic home runs in Cubs postseason history.
Sure it is.
Oh, yeah.
And then, but continuing on, then, okay, so the regular season, he tears his ACL and LCL at Coors Field in the first week of the season. He returns for the World Series, and the news breaks right as they're about. That was the day they clinched the NLCS. The news breaks. And it's not enough that they're about to go to the first World Series since 1945, but Schwarber's back. The guy who has been written off for the season, and he comes back. And not only does he come back, but he goes 7-17 in the World Series on the way to the first Cubs World Series win since 1908. And then now I'm going, and then of course, then you go look at the internet and there's articles titled "Why the Cubs' Kyle Schwarber is the Babe Ruth of Our Time."
Schwarbino. Everybody started calling him Schwarbino.
I mean, that's what you
get. When was that article written?
It was 2017.
Okay.
Okay, May 2017.
Gotcha.
And the heroic feats of Kyle Schwarber from ESPN the magazine. These kind of fuel the expectations and distort what he's actually done. Now, fast forward to 2019. If he hits a home run in his next 35 games, he will be the quickest to 100 home runs of anyone who's debuted with the Cubs. And so now you're looking at that, and it's distorted because the home runs are a little, you know, crazier than they always have been. But these are the things when you add them all up. This is why the expectations of Kyle Schwarber outweigh what he actually is. And we'll get into that here.
He is a – I mean, there's no question he can hit the long ball. Doug used to tweet, you've been Schwarbered to pitchers.
You've been Schwarbered. Well, I mean, I think, Chris, it's partly what a career can be. It's sometimes it's a series of moments. And, you know, coming up in a system, you get drafted, all kinds of things can go wrong. Injuries, opportunities, you're behind, you know, Alex Rodriguez as a shortstop, whatever it is. And you get these small moments and windows of opportunity. And in his case, like you said, there's a drawback sometimes of being in that storied franchise if you're coming in and you're not just in the situation where you can just say, go play. Go figure it out. Play against lefties. Play against nasty closers, whatever. We're just going to roll you out there. As opposed to, all right, we're going to be situational. You're going to be a splits guy. And you don't actually find out that this guy actually was a pretty good hitter against lefties in college or whatever he had done before. So I had a chance to see Schwarber when he was in Indiana. And they played against Florida State in the Super Regionals. And he was by far, I mean, it wasn't even close. And there were some great players at the time, I think DJ Stewart or all these guys. And he was just another level. And Luke Weaver pitched to him, and he set him up like he was throwing like underhand or something. And I saw a guy that was looked like a major league hitter in a college game. So I was curious to watch his career, and he delivered all through the minors. I mean, everything he hit was on the screws. So I thought that Schwarber could come up and actually be an everyday player. Lefty, you know, the position was the issue, but he definitely had the bat to do it. And so these were his windows. And it does say something when a player can rise to the occasion and perform at the highest level, even despite injury and missing a season and walking in there against Kluber, one of the best pitchers in the game, and hitting the ball off the wall. I mean, there is something to that, and I can see why there's an opportunity. I remember I had a chance to talk to Tom Ricketts on the field one day, and it was about, you know, Kyle Schwarber, and I told him this history. And I said, well, you know, what's, you know, are you going to trade him or something? And he's like, let me just tell you something. There's a more likelihood that Theo Epstein will adopt Kyle Schwarber than he will trade him. So it's, you know, it's there. So there is a legend, and that's true. And you do look at the numbers, but he is at this epic pace of home runs. He's in an era of launch. The power game plays, and maybe he's, you know, somewhat of a splits guy, but he also hasn't had the opportunity to some degree. So I'm curious what would happen if it's sort of untethered and you just go. If he was in, you know, Detroit right now, he'd be playing every day, and I don't know what he'd do, but I think he'd be a really good player.
Yeah, and I left one out. He goes toe-to-toe with Bryce Harper in the final round of the home run derby.
Yeah,
that's true. I mean, it's moments like that. And even if, like, you know, he doesn't hit everyone's expectations, how could you possibly deny that watching him play is just so much fun?
It is, and I think somebody said, I forget who it was, but he's the perfect guy for Chicago. He's such a blue-collar type player, grew up in the Midwest, but he's so good for Chicago fans. I mean, look at him. Every single time he goes out there in left field, he's doing his little, like, shimmy and dance, and fans in the bleachers eat it up, and they love it. But he just has this attitude. But, like, per your point, Doug, the guys in that clubhouse love him. He's like everybody's little brother. I mean, I think Deadspin coined that phrase, America's large adult son, as they were going through the World Series, which was one of my favorite phrasings for how to describe Schwarber. But there's all of these other things, right? He's such a likable guy. He's a guy that, you know, you watch the TV cameras in there, they rush to him every single time he's done when he might have had one at bat in a game and didn't even do much. Like, people gravitate to him. And I think there's also that aspect of it, right? So, like, his personality has played just as much as his power.
So, to what Doug was saying, do we think he can be an everyday player, and will it end up being for the Cubs? What do they have? We know they have a guy that has tremendous power. As of this podcast taping, he's sitting on 99 home runs. They have a guy that can be an everyday player, and will he be an everyday player for the Cubs?
Well, I think there's reasons to give him the chance to do so. So from 2015 on, I took a look at all the players that had at least 1,500 plate appearances. There's 134 of them. Schwarber's walk percentage of 13.2% is 14th. So that's an elite skill, especially for a team that has a lot of guys who can hit the ball out of the ballpark.
That's why they keep, like, trying him at leadoff.
Oh, yeah. It's so tempting to have, you know, in the midst of guys who hit a lot of home runs, a guy who gets on base a ton, and he can also hit home runs too.
That's the crazy thing about the 100 home runs is that he's getting there not playing every day, having been sent to AAA for, I think, 11 games in 2017, having torn two ligaments in his knee and missing almost all of 2016. What would those home run numbers look like if he played every day? And then now you look at Castellanos comes on the team and everybody says, hey, that's the perfect platoon. Just let it be a full-time platoon in left field. That, of course, would be great, but it also wouldn't give Schwarber full-time at-bats, and we still wouldn't know what do we have in Kyle Schwarber. I did look at Baseball Reference does that very cool stat of similar batters.
Yeah, I wrote down the same.
And similar batters through 25 years old.
Mm-hmm.
The list of names, first, the one that came up most often at the top was Melvin Nieves.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I wasn't sure about that. The ones that made me most interested were the ones through 25. Bo Jackson at number 9, Randall Grichuk at 10, and number 2 was former Cubs great Dave Kingman. Now, I think Schwarber is a better hitter than Dave Kingman, but the majestic home runs thing reminds me of Dave Kingman. And the same thing with Bo Jackson a little bit.
And the football mentality with Bo Jackson, too.
Totally a football player, although we've seen him go from regular Schwarber to skinny cap Schwarber, back to regular Schwarber a little bit. He's like in the middle,
cryo
Schwarber.
And I think it's true that he may be a beneficiary to some degree of the analytics, right? Because you can get very granular and see all this value, right? I mean, I don't know what his home run rate against righties. It's probably pretty good, right?
Yes.
His OPS on right-handed. So him not being as balanced or used in this imbalanced way may actually prolong his career to some degree. You see guys that hang on for a long time just because they're good in a certain skill set in a certain way. But I don't know. I think it was a little bit before he had the opportunity to prove he could be that lefty guy. But the question then remains, Luke, is where do you play him, right? If you say, if you roll him out there, is he an American League guy and DH when he needs to? Or will he be able to conquer left field or some other position? So that's why that question will always loom. When you have Ian Happ and other guys coming in and you're so situational and your team that has to win, you're not going to do experiments, okay? You have to produce in every scenario, like lefties, righties, bullpen, closers. You look at those numbers. Whereas if you're completely out of it, you're not as worried about it. So that may follow Schwarber and the Cubs' success for his whole career if he stays here.
And that's also probably, it is exactly why they don't want to try him out at catcher again, because every game matters, as you know, that's their slogan this year. But this would have been the perfect scenario before they got Luke Wright to go, you know, see what Schwarber can do at catcher, give him a little bit. But
that was my next question. Yeah. Like if he were the backup catcher, would you be happy with Schwarber's production?
Yes.
I mean, he'd be the greatest backup catcher.
Right.
I mean, I know he's not maybe necessarily great at framing pitches or whatever behind the plate, but offensively, any team would take that offense from their backup catcher.
Plus 4 days a week in left field or whatever.
Right.
Yeah.
And while we're on the topic of switching positions, I think Schwarber's identity as a major leaguer is largely tied to the fact that he's only played for Joe Maddon. Now, how many other managers would be so willing to switch him around at all these positions, and how many other managers are so, you know, one of their biggest things is mixing and matching and giving guys days off and splits and just getting everybody reps as much as Joe does.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a good point, Chris. And the culture sometimes matters, and it can blend well with your opportunity. And I was fortunate. I came up with someone super positive, Jim Riggleman here. And then I had someone like Terry Francona. And those were good environments for me to be able to thrive and be successful. Even though you're a major leaguer and you're a professional, you have to learn how to play for everybody. It does matter the situation of the team and also the managerial style. So, you know, Joe Maddon is a guy who will mix and match. He'll say, all right, I'll try this. And, you know, most players came up. I remember talking to Dave Martinez a couple of spring trainings ago when he was still coaching here. And he said, young guys will walk in and say, where do you want me to play? I want to try on a new glove anywhere. And that mentality is so different than when I came up, where it's like, oh, well, you're a shortstop or you're a second baseman. And by the way, there wasn't all this shifting either. So it was like that was your position. If you're stuck behind this guy, oh, well, maybe you'll find an opportunity somewhere else. So the Cubs had me in left field. I wasn't a power guy, so they traded me to Philly, who needed a center fielder. This is a different day, not just in Cubs land, but teams are looking through a very diverse lens of skills. And, you know, for the most part, Kyle Schwarber's just found his way through his bat to always be relevant.
Doug, is there anybody that he reminds you of? I brought up the Bo Jackson just because of Baseball Reference, where his slugging percentage is almost identical. His OPS is almost identical. His OPS plus 112 to 111. Every stat is almost the same except for Schwarber walks more often than Bo Jackson did. But again, he's not an everyday player. Is there somebody you can think of from your playing days where you say, that's Schwarber. That's kind of who he is so far through five seasons.
I don't know if anybody jumps off. I mean, Bo Jackson makes sense in just watching that style. But there is. There's going to be the strikeouts. There's going to be walks. There's going to be home runs. You know, he's not going to be a superb defender, but he's like grinds it out. He just grinds it out. And he has that something, that extra something where, you know, postseason performer. He's just got this personality that sort of drives with the culture of the team and the actual locker room. So, you know, he's got that Swiss Army knife kind of approach to his game, which is why I think he'll play a long time. I mean, he'll look up and you'll say, wow, he played like 15 seasons and he did, you know, he had whatever, 350 home runs. And I think he'll have a good career.
Yeah, I mean, I think with him rising to the challenge, where he takes that next step is being able to channel that, what he did in the World Series, you know, and 15 playoffs, doing that on a daily basis. Because you look at those numbers that you're pointing out, and I know it's more complex than that, but his RBI to homers for his career in the regular season, it's basically just 2-1. And that tells you that he's almost always just driving in runs when he's hitting homers. But that's where that has to come from. You know, singles with a guy on, you know, second base, driving in sack fly. Like, I mean, his sack fly numbers I know are low. All of these different things, that's where it comes from. That's where he becomes this 30-homer hitter who's driving in more than 70 runs a season and becomes a guy who's not just hitting 228 anymore because he got a single in this spot instead of this and so on. If he's able to somehow make those adjustments and move forward, that's where we really get to see what the ceiling is for Kyle Schwarber, in my opinion.
Chris started us by talking about the expectations of Cubs fans, baseball fans, with the way that he burst onto the scene as this natural hitter and was sort of promoted, maybe unfairly, as a generational hitter.
And maybe say when he came up. Now,
yes.
I mean, so I think if Schwarber comes up in 2011, 2012, 2013, it's a very different story than if he comes up in 2015 when they're on the way to their first playoff appearance in a while. And with all, you know, the first big run by the Epstein Cubs. So that's different. And that's something to consider as well.
I also, kind of along those lines, you're talking about when he would come up, what if he came up in like 2000 or something? So like you were talking about, Doug, where a shortstop's just a shortstop, there wasn't shifting. What if Schwarber came up without shifting? He would seriously be a 270 hitter. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think that would be pretty clear. He would be a guy, his average would be 50 points higher, but shifting has brought his average down, and he hasn't adjusted the same way Rizzo has.
And you said shifting, correct?
Shifting.
Just want to make sure of that.
Shifting is different now than it was.
100%, and if we could just get it changed back to the old ways, things would be great. But I don't know. I don't think he gets enough credit in some ways. The expectations are there. Everybody says, well, he hasn't grown into this generational hitter that they expected him to be because they see struggles where he goes through, you know, highs and lows throughout a season. But at the same time, they asked him to be better defensively, and last year he had 11 putouts in left field.
Yeah.
Is he an outstanding outfielder? No, but most left fielders are not terrific outfielders. He can get the job done out there, and if he can get the production, to me it's more about whether he can do it against righties and lefties, and that's about opportunity.
Well, it is, and it's also having the right complement of players. You know, look, there's a lot of, like you said, there's a lot of corner outfielders that may not be great fielders, but then you have a Gold Glover in center, or you have, all of a sudden it's like, okay, you know, so what? Kyle Schwarber is a left. He'll do a decent job. He'll make mistakes here and there, but he'll throw people out. you just work with it. But it's glaring when you're not, you know, you have this revolving door in center, and Hayward's not necessarily a pure center fielder. He's more of a right fielder. Almora has his struggles, so he can't be out there every day because his bat is up and down. That's different. But if he has a stabilized situation, then you look at it differently about his defense. So more and more today, defense is so collective. Right, it's a single organism moving together. It's not this like, oh, he's just a left fielder, he's just, and you could cover for gaps and deficiencies a lot more easily because you're so in tune with every pitcher, every situation, how to actually maximize your defensive effort.
When you look at Kyle Schwarber, what to this moment is the one thing that sticks out in your mind? If you have to sum up 5 years of Kyle Schwarber baseball, or for you even going back to Indiana, What's the overall summary for him?
Well, I mean, he's, you know, I see grind is the full word that comes to mind. Just how he is he perseveres, and that's an important trait in this game because you are going to struggle, and their teams are going to constantly make adjustments against you much quicker than they did back in my day, certainly. But I see a guy that still is you know he can be a prolific home run hitter. He's got a good strength in the strike zone. He's going to go through his slumps where, you know, his swing gets a little long. And he's going to continue to work. And I think he'll just keep getting better at various aspects, sort of to what Tony's point is. It's not like he's stagnating. I mean, he's learning. He's listening. He's still a pretty young guy. It's like, oh, certain things will click. And I see him just, you know, aging like a fine wine out there.
What do you think moving forward with Kyle Schwarber?
Well, the word that comes to my mind is dangerous. He's dangerous at the plate. Like, every time he's up there, he could charge one 470 feet. And, you know, he's your prototypical player of 2019. You know, walks, homers, and strikeouts. It's going to happen. But I think what persists is the what if. And one of the reasons is he's never had 100 plate appearances in the season against lefties. He's never done that yet. So until he does, we never know if he's the complete hitter against righties and lefties, which would warrant getting him every single day as possible in the lineup. And until he gets to that point, it's tough to make that call of what exactly he is and why we're here having this podcast right now.
Yeah, but I mean, they did try for a bit. You know, when they had him at leadoff, they said he is our leadoff hitter. And for it was about a month, righties, lefties, they threw him out there and they just kept going in the middle of this season. But the production wasn't there. And the production, you know, as you're talking about a whole organism, offensively it's the same thing. The rest of the lineup wasn't performing, so Schwarber against lefties had to be one area where they adjusted. Now, maybe that would have looked better if Almora was hitting against lefties the way he was supposed to, or Bodie, or anything else. But overall, the production against lefties wasn't as good, so they had to move it down, and now he's not getting the opportunities, like you said. But they did try for like a month. It's still too small of a sample size.
Right.
But, yeah, I mean, we've seen, you know, kind of those moments here and there against lefties.
And the thing is, with the Cubs, you know, always pushing for the playoff spot, they really can't afford to do full season experiments like this, which is the cost of being on a, you know, a successful team.
Yeah. But
that's a good thing. You'd rather be a successful team than not. So.
And how did Rizzo learn how to hit lefties? In San Diego with the 2012 Cubs, with the 2013 Cubs.
Exactly. I mean, if I'm Kyle Schwarber, I might pull like Matt Joyce. Matt Joyce went to winter ball when he was like 30, whatever. You know, I would consider it. I would say I'm going to Puerto Rico, wherever, and I'm playing every day, and you know just to do it for some stint of just seeing lefties over and over again, because like you mentioned, they're good, and there's a lot of money coming into this organization. They're going to play every circumstance to win. They're always weighing the odds. And the accountability is so difficult today as a manager because you have the data, and how are you going to put a lefty that's hitting a career, whatever, what is his number against lefty? I don't know,
188 career.
Right, so 180.
301 on base.
It's hard to do that, even though that's like what you did, not necessarily what you're going to do, but it starts to, you know, past become prologue, or, you know, you start to run into this storyline where it's hard to get out of that. And players have entire careers like that. They just become splits guys. I mean, for example, in my career, I think I hit righties better than lefties, considerably better. And that actually started to work against me at a certain point because, you know, if I was just, you know, if I was Chris Young or something and said, oh, well, wow, you hit 350 against lefties, I probably could play longer, actually. So, you know, you can be stuck in the middle. And he has at least the advantage that, you know, so many more righties, he's pretty productive against them. He'll continue to get the opportunity.
I would say that 50% of the conversations I have about Kyle Schwarber are fans asking whether or not he will eventually be traded to an American League team. You can't bring up his name without somebody saying, well, if things don't go right this season, will Schwarber be the fall guy or the core guy that gets moved? So, last question all the way around. Will Schwarber be here for five more seasons with the Cubs if things don't lead to a World Series this season?
Yeah, I think he will. I mean, because Theo would be more likely to adopt him. But, there is that. But there's also, I have seen the strides that he's made. You know, I've covered so much of him over this. And he is dangerous, and there's still that. But the consistency hasn't been there yet. And that's because of all these different things that I know, Luke, you mentioned. Getting hurt, missing an entire season of development. Going back down to the minor leagues and coming back up, going into the leadoff spot, coming back out of it, playing every day against lefties, coming back out of it. It has worked against him too, where he's riding the roller coaster a bit more than a lot of other people. So last year when Javi broke out, they had roughly the same amount of plate appearances and at-bats as Schwarber going into this season. This year, Schwarber's actually been kind of unlucky in a lot of aspects. I know you have the data on that, Kamka, but if he got the results kind of the same, we might be looking at this year Schwarber being the same as Javi last year in terms of breakout, where they're not riding the roller coaster as much. It's not as much up and down. I do think that that's in Schwarber's future. I think he will get more consistent. He will start trying to channel the postseason rising to the occasion in the regular season. And because of that, he's going to be too invaluable to trade.
Yeah, and I'm glad you brought that up, Tony, because there is a little bit of bad luck on his part. I've looked it up. I think it was against balls in play 95 miles an hour off the bat or more. He had one of the very lowest batting averages, and you'd expect it to be much higher, you know, especially the league average is way higher. So that was one thing that I noticed as well. I think he will be here as well.
So my answer to that, whenever a fan comes up and says, what do you think? Are they going to trade Schwarber? My answer is always the same. I hope not. Maybe I'm sentimental. I love what he's brought to the team over the last five seasons. Has it been a straight and linear line on the way up the mountain? No, but no player has been. I think the potential's there. There's everything to like about him, the way he works, the way he can hit, the way he has hit for the team. And I believe that high ceiling is still there. I can't remember what the crazy bet was this year for Schwarber as MVP. Was it 250-1 that Rick Sutcliffe played the gamble on? You know what? It sounds a little silly now, but I still think at the very highest ceiling, Kyle Schwarber still has that potential. I know 25 is starting to get close to where you say you know what a guy is. I still don't think we know what Schwarber is, and I still think the arrow is pointing up, not down. So no matter what happens this season, I hope he's part of the future.
Yeah, I mean, I think like Chris said, until you see him in all those scenarios, you always have that curiosity, and it's to his benefit. His legend actually helps him. And look, if the Cubs decide one day, you know what, we're going to get like Ender Inciarte or get this like super gold glove quality outfielder in center who's going to be every day somebody dependable, the defense will kind of disappear. You won't consider it as much. It might be a couple ninth innings you bring someone in, but he might have an opportunity to play. And if you have a chance where he can run out there every day, maybe you have a bad season, and then you're like, okay, Kyle, go play against lefties. We don't care. You know, who knows? And at 25, I mean, I was breaking into the big leagues at 25, so I learned a whole lot after I was 25. So I think he has a huge upside still. And, you know, you have to be healthy and don't dismiss the fact when you miss a whole season, it takes a while to get back into some rhythm of confidence and trust with your body. It doesn't just like snap overnight. So there's a lot of things, like you said, pointing upward and, you know, the stars align. I think he'll be here a long time.
So we asked, what do the Cubs have in Schwarber? The panel of four seems to agree. What they have is still a core piece that could be much, much better as the days unfold in his Cubs career. Fair?
I think it is. Fair. Because, you know, in left field, the defense, you can definitely deal with that, especially as Doug said. If you have, you know, a good enough right fielder and center fielder, absolutely. And there's just, you know, this one spot in the roster, you just don't want to give that up because of what you've seen. What we've seen is so much fun. is so productive at times that it's worth keeping.
The great Schwarbino. That's it for the Cubs Talk podcast presented by Wintrust Community Banks. Thanks to Tony Andracki, Chris Kamka, Doug Glanville. I'm Luke Stuckmeyer. Thanks for listening. Take care and fly the W.
If you travel, you know when it comes to love.
See you soon.
Can't wait.
The sky is no limit. You know with your Delta Amex card, being oceans apart means meeting in Aruba. And booking a war travel with your card means saving 15% on Delta flights. You know kissing under the bridge of sighs guarantees eternal love. Because you're the long-distance lovebirds. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Take off 15 discount not applicable to partner operated flights or taxes and fees. Terms apply. Visit go.amex/you know.